right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined, as always, it is...
Maddie. I am recording in a cave this week. What's up, Tommy? Excited to talk about some indie games today. A lot of games.
We'll be reviewing a game as well. We're going to be reviewing... These two kings are going to be reviewing Nine Kings. I've been sitting on that one all day. yeah, it's a pretty interesting game in early access. We'll be talking about it. It was also Summer Games Fest and the Xbox Showcase over the weekend that Maddie got to pay a little bit more attention to than I was, but I saw some stuff as well. So we'll talk about that, answer some listener questions, and then, you know, maybe recommend a few things at the end of the show. But let's catch up. What's going on? How was your weekend? What is new?
Yeah, it was an eventful weekend. So I took Thursday and Friday off of work. Thursday because Dune Awakening dropped, and I got to stream that pretty much all day. Loving Dune. It's just so good. It would be the rec room, but I actually have something else in there that I think is worthy of the rec as well. But yeah, really enjoying my time with it. You know, if any of the juice heads out there have questions about it, I know there's the official launch will actually happen the day before this episode kicks off, releases. But it's great. It's really good. Loving my time with it. And they've just done a great job so far. Like, it really is like immersive in the Dune world. Really cool systems. It just, yeah, everything about the game so far, I've just really been enjoying. And so that happened on Thursday. Also, the Switch 2 release. So got my Switch 2. Actually, I know we were talking a little bit in the Discord about this, but originally mine was supposed to come, it said like arriving by like 10 p.m. Well, I woke up and my wife was like, hey, where did you get your Switch from? I was like, oh, Walmart. She's like, oh, there's a Walmart package that arrived at 5:30 this morning. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, oh, that's awesome. Went down there and checked it out. It's great. It's awesome. I'm having a great time playing Mario Kart. And, yeah, so did that Thursday. Friday, just had some doctor's appointments and stuff, played some more Dune, some more Mario Kart. And then Summer Games Fest happened. It was a video game filled kind of 4 days there, which is really great. And then Saturday, I don't even remember what I did Saturday, if I'm being totally honest. And then Sunday came around. It was the Xbox Showcase. I had a good time checking that out. Did some stuff around the house, all that sort of jazz. But yeah, it was really just like Dune, Mario Kart, and watching video game stuff over the last 4 days, which is always one of my favorite times of the year, kind of June, you know, when this sort of stuff happens. And it just so happened to line up with two big releases that I was excited for. So can't beat that. And it's been a fun time. But how you doing, Tommy? How's everything going lately?
I'm good. I'm at the tail end of being a little under the weather. It feels like it's actually been going on for like at least a week years at this point. And like, you know, I definitely wasn't feeling that great when we were recording on Monday last week. And, you know, it's just like this weird, I don't know if it's like allergies or whatever. It was just like my head and like my sinuses. And it was like wrecking me all last week on my first week of work. And finally this, like today, I'm feeling a little bit better. But it was like a weird thing. It wasn't like COVID or anything like that. I just wasn't feeling good. And like, yeah. I don't know, maybe it was all the stress from stuff, but I did have a good week though, despite all that at work. And Thursday night went over to my buddies. We watched the game one of the NBA finals. It was an insane game. And like, honestly, maybe some of the most fun I've had watching a sporting event in like maybe since Jordan Love's first game as a Packer against the Saints. So it has been a minute, you know. Like, I've watched other good games, but like, this was just so much fun. Game two wasn't as great. I was also really tired, so I went to bed early that night. It looked like I should, you know, I didn't miss much. But on Saturday, went to my buddy Will's house. Hadn't seen him in a minute. his wife and baby are overseas right now, so he's, you know, just trying to hang out with some people. So I went over. We played like a couple board games. We played Ascension, if anybody knows what that is. Played a couple games that I've made, you know, got his, you know, thoughts on it, which I always like to get. And then, you know, a lot of Switch, right? We're big Mario Tennis Aces fans. So, you know, like when we get into that game, like it is just, it's like the true battleground. It's like, it was like Sinner versus Alcaraz at the French Open this past weekend. So, except I'm Waluigi doing the moonwalk on the court. So, yeah, it was good. It was a good weekend. The Switch 2 came for me a day later than everybody else, unfortunately. But it's so funny. I knew it came, and I was at work, and I was going to the gym before I came home. And normally, like, the gym goes by pretty quick for me. But that was like, it felt like the longest gym session ever. I'm like, man, maybe I don't need to do this exercise. And then I'm like, no, this is the Switch 2 talking. So got back, played Mario Kart with Lady Fresh. It was fun. And yesterday just was like so out of it. Played some Fab, but then like kind of like went to bed early, which is not like me. But listen, I've been also enjoying the hell out of a couple other games that we'll be talking about. And maybe it's the one that we're going to be reviewing. So we'll see. We will see. But let's get into some news first. The biggest news ever. Discord. It's like an app where you can chat with people. And we have one of those. So you can like go into the Fresh Juice Discord. Chat with us. Hang out. Do whatever you want. Well, not whatever you want. But, you know, within reason.
Do whatever you want. No, it's, yeah. If you got some pent up anger, I'm going to open up a channel for you. It'll be the only channel that you can see.
You have to request access, and you're the only one allowed in at like any given time. And you just like rant in there. Yeah. We could see what you're saying, but we won't tell anybody. We might, I mean, depending on some stuff. We're not priests. This isn't like real confession. check that out. It's in the show notes below. But the big news is Summer Games Fest, Xbox Showcase, big weekend for a lot of announcements. I didn't get to really watch it. Pretty busy this past weekend. But you did some stuff that I did catch. And I don't know if they're all... like, I know Ball Pit from Devolver I saw... I know that was from one of the panels or something like that. And that looks pretty sweet. That's a game that I'll have my eyes on. And then there's a new game. I don't know if it was announced. I saw it on this one on Discord because it's from Thunder Lotus, who also makes 33 Immortals. This was yesterday on Sunday. So I don't know if that was what it was from. Maybe on the Xbox.
Yeah, it was. It was from the. I think it was from Summer Games Fest, if I remember correctly.
But it is Fates Ended by the devs from Spiritfarer, which is a beloved game, one that I recommend for anybody who like really likes something really unique with like a lot of character to it, and just like good character development, and also is like, you know, can be sad at times, but I think it handles those themes quite well. But Fates Ended looks like a pretty awesome game, to be honest. Like kind of like an action, like platformer with some unique like RPG elements where you're not.
I think it's at Fates End.
At Fates End. It's not Fates Ended.
I think it's at Fates, because I was like, I remember this game. I don't remember that name, but yeah, it's at Fates End.
Oh. Oops.
But Fates Ended. Don't worry. It's over.
Fates Ended. Wait. You... oh, at Fates End. I don't know why. The fates have been ended. At Fates End. I'm sorry.
No, yeah. You're good.
I misread it. But it looks like your skill tree is also part of your like kind of arsenal of weapons, right? It's like you kind of like update these skills as like cards, and mid combat you can kind of like activate those cards to do stuff. So it looks like a pretty unique system, which to be honest, I'm not that surprised to see coming from the devs that made Spiritfarer, which was a very unique game in and of itself. So I'll leave the rest to you because you got to really take a look and take a deep dive into what was announced over the weekend.
Yeah, there was, I kind of have a list of games here that not necessarily I'm like, looking forward to. Some of these are just like ones I want to kind of keep an eye on because they seemed a little interesting. The first one was Mortal Shell 2, which I had never played. The first one, I know that one kind of had like mixed reviews, but this is a kind of like a Souls-like-y sort of looking game, which is, you know, obviously up my alley. That one looked pretty interesting. It's coming out next year. Another one that looks pretty cool is this game called End of Abyss. So this seems to be a, I actually don't really know what the genre is. I guess it's just an action adventure game that's kind of like an isometric sort of view, but it's like very dark and almost like spooky looking, science fiction-esque, and it just seems really cool. So End of Abyss is something I'm keeping my eye on. There's some other games that we already kind of knew about, like Mouse PI for Hire, which had been, obviously we've seen that one quite a bit. That's that FPS game that's coming out that kind of looks like old school Mickey Mouse, that sort of art style. And then we got an announcement for Atomic Heart 2, which I know the first Atomic Heart, kind of like Bioshocky sort of vibes. Not really something like I've played a lot of in the past, but I just kind of noted it down because it just seems wild. Like if you look at the trailer for Atomic Heart 2, you're like, what is going on here? I love when like developers really like flex their creativity muscles in these trailers. That's like one of my favorite parts of like these showcases is just when you watch a trailer and you're like, man, how did I even think of that? So that was something that was cool. And then the same developer actually is coming out with a game that has a little bit more of my interest called The Cube, which is an MMORPG shooter. So I'm kind of thinking like Destiny-esque, but almost with like a Bioshock vibe to it, which kind of seems cool. You know, we'll see if they can deliver on that. And then there were some like, other announcements. Ark Raiders coming out October 30th. Excited about that. An MMO Chrono Odyssey. But there's one that I just have to recommend that people watch the trailer for, especially you, Tommy. It's called Felt That Boxing. And this trailer is like, it's like the Muppets. And just all over the place. There's a guy like unclogging a toilet. And like you just see it for like a split second. And he's like, I've been shitting all day. And like I was like, what is going on here? How is this a game? So I don't really understand how you play it. I guess it's like a fighting game if it's a boxing game, but Felt That Boxing looked kind of interesting. One of them that I think we should probably check out on the show is called Mio. It is if you Google Mio, that is going to be not the game. Mio Memories in Orbit. It's an upcoming Metroidvania, that actually looks really cool. It's got a really interesting art style. I think it'd be a cool one to check out on stream. They even have a demo on Steam, so I might end up checking that out. But it just seemed like an interesting kind of game where it's sort of this like sketched kind of art style, but it's got a lot of depth to it as well. And there's a bunch of other games I got on my list. I'll just go through like some highlights here. Lego Voyager seems really cool. Not really into like Lego games typically, but this is like a co-op Lego game where you play as like each of you is like a one by one block, and then you like connect to other things and you become other things. And I kind of noticed this theme throughout the announcements where like there's a lot of these kind of co-op games, and I have to imagine it's like heavily inspired by like the success of like It Takes Two and Split Fiction. Mm-hmm. Studios that really just put in a way out and put all their effort into these co-op games. Lego Voyager seems really cool. We also got Mina the Hollower, which is a new game from Yacht Club Games. That one seemed pretty interesting. Infinitesimals seems kind of cool. That is, if I remember correctly, because there's so many games on this list. If I remember correctly, that is, yes, it's a game where you, it kind of reminds me of like Grounded in a way, where you're like the size of an ant. Seemed pretty interesting, but more with like a sci-fi kind of vibe. And then honestly, the biggest announcement for me for the whole weekend is, speaking of Grounded, Grounded 2 was announced. I'm a big Grounded fan. I was talking with our buddy Pat about it. He's a big Grounded fan. We were just losing our shit over it. We can't wait for Grounded 2. Early access, July 29th. I'll definitely be streaming it, be playing it. Cannot wait. The Grounded 1 is just such a great game, and they put so much like heart and soul into it. I just can't wait to play the second one. They also announced like a handheld kind of Xbox sort of thing. It's like Steam Deck-ish, which is interesting. But yeah, you know, overall, I mean, I was, you know, there's some good announcements. Super Meat Boy 3D as well. You know, we can kind of get into all of them if we want to. But I think one of the listener questions is going to be asking about the Summer Games Fest. So I'm not going to go into like how I feel about it right now with all the announcements. But yeah, there were definitely a handful of games there that I want to keep an eye on. But also a handful of games where I'm like, I could care less about this. Yeah, so, you know, yeah, so I'll talk a little bit more about my thoughts later. But any of those that you know, as we were going over them, that kind of jumped out to you if you were looking them up?
Well, I saw some stuff, like I think on TikTok, about Felt That Boxing. It was like, this is a game, which is like awesome. I think that's really sweet. I hope it's good because it is really unique. I just looked up Mio while you were talking. That looks beautiful. My God. Yeah. I might have to try out that demo as well. Mina the Hollower is a game I've had in my radar for a bit, but it's nice to have a date for it. Finally, I was a big Shovel Knight fan, or I still am. So pretty excited to see what else comes from Yacht Club Games there. I saw Super Meat Boy 3D. That was pretty exciting. I never actually played Super Meat Boy. Or at least, I mean, I played a little bit of it, maybe. And but the craziest thing is the new Game Freak game. Did you see that?
What I might have missed that it was from Game Freak. What was the name of that one?
Beast of Reincarnation.
Oh, I think I did see that. I don't know how much I was paying attention.
Okay, it looks like a Souls-like of sorts, right? With like pretty intense graphics, really, really imaginative, really cool looking. It's from Game Freak. It's making people go, okay, why do these Pokemon games suck?
Yeah.
Is this what you're working on instead? Like, why do you guys have to make the Pokemon games if you're going to do this instead? It's very interesting. And the game looks really awesome. I mean, I would recommend looking at the trailer, but it is a company that is known for one thing, right? Just coming out of the blue, it seems like, in the Xbox Game Showcase with a game that usually, this is like, I would have said, oh, maybe this is a new From Software. Maybe this is, it kind of looks like Expedition 33, maybe they had another game coming down the pipes too already. Yada yada yada, and then it's like Game Freak. The title that I remember seeing on my Pokemon Blue.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. I'm just curious as to like how that happened, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I did see some people talking about this, and I just, you know, all that Pokemon money is going into this new game. I just think it's, you know, I have to imagine that, you know, they're somehow limited with what they can do with Pokemon for some reason. Because this game is like, yeah, I mean, imagine a Pokemon game that looked like this or had like, seemed like the scale of this and the detail of this.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty wild. But yeah, it's definitely, a head scratcher for sure. I do remember seeing this trailer. It does look like kind of Souls-like-y. It's like an action RPG.
Mm-hmm.
But
Maybe yeah. more like, probably less Souls-like, more closer to like Black Myth Wukong or something like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
like really impressive, like good for them. And, you know, I don't want to say fair weather Pokemon fan. I'm a old school Pokemon fan. Really haven't liked any new Pokemon stuff in a long time, but I still go back to the old Pokemon stuff. And I even bought Arceus, which promised to be the next big thing in Pokemon and really fell flat for B.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to see. Like, I understand, like, the art style of Pokemon, you can't really do that detailed, but you could obviously, like, up the ante a little bit on these games, obviously. You have the capacity. So maybe yeah. Nintendo's holding them back, but like Nintendo can make beautiful stuff too.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. And also, you know, like it could be a situation where like they were just like, we want to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they just wanted to flex their muscles in a different way. It's just, you don't expect it to look like this, right? Mm-hmm. And be coming from Game Freak. So we'll see, you know, I mean, imagine they have another, you know, this is their new path. Maybe for Game Freak, who knows? But definitely a surprise, I think, to many.
I wonder if the keys are being handed over, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we've seen this with other IPs in the past. Like, I know that, like, Retro wasn't going to make Metroid Prime 4, and then like, I guess it all got scrapped, and then they were going to make it again, I think, if I remember correctly. And then even like Call of Duty, I remember like back when in like high school, it was like one was Activision, one was, I forget what the other company was. Like they would switch back and forth making these games. So I wonder what the future of Pokemon is after seeing that. It makes you really, really wonder. I mean, not the future of Pokemon in general. Like I'm pretty sure they'll still be making way too much money printing cards. But not really sure about the video games. It's a head scratcher.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. PokeMMO, folks, just download that.
Amen.
There you go. Boom.
All right. Now to pivot off of Pokemon and into Kings. 9 of them to be exact. We have a game that we reviewed, or we're going to review. We played this week. We're going to review it. It's called 9 Kings, developed by Sad Socket. And published by Hooded Horse and Instinct 3. It's in early access. It's on Steam. It's $14.99. It's a fast-paced, roguelike kingdom builder. Grow your empire and fight massive battles against powerful rival kings. Break the game with thousands of insane builds to become the King of Kings. Let's get into the gameplay. This is a pretty straightforward game, I think, if I'm going to be honest. You start out, you choose a king. You only have one to begin with, King of Nothing. So, listen, folks, if you can guess, you're going to be able to unlock 8 more of these. Or I guess only in early access, I think it's only 7 full kings that you can unlock at this point. 2 more coming down the pipes for 1.0. But King of Nothing, they all have a certain card pool, right? That's available to them, and they'll all have different themes. So you hop in, you place your castle. Your castle is like a tower. It's like a tower defense game in a way, where your tower is just going to be sending out like big old boulders or whatever, like cannons out of the castle at the oncoming waves of enemies that are coming from other kingdoms, or sometimes your own rebellion of a kingdom. And each turn, you can play one card, or one, we'll call them cards. They're basically cards, because it can be a tower, it can be a unit, it can be a buff to one of those grid pieces that we just mentioned. It could be even just something that buffs everything. So every turn, or every round, you're going to fight a wave of enemies from your own kingdom or one of the 2 random kingdoms that your run starts with, and you will get a card from whatever kingdom you just beat. So if it was from the Kingdom of Greed, you'll get the three choices of cards from that card pool. And then you can build with those or the other two that you had before. Now, you can, you always have to play cards down to two cards, right? So if you get more cards somehow, and there's ways to do that, you can play multiple cards in a turn. It's kind of the goal here to be able to do that. So you have X amount of years. Each year you go through is a round, and you're trying to get to the end battle, basically. There's a couple shops along the way where you can buy new cards, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's also a blessing system where randomly they'll be like, there's been a prophecy and X amount of grid spots are going to get this buff in 9 years. So you have to think about that and what you're placing there. You got to think about this kind of strategy. And, you know, at the beginning, it's going to be really easy. This is going to be a pretty easy game. It's going to kind of play itself, but there is a lot of difficulties that you unlock. So if you get hooked on this game, eventually it's going to be really hard. And I'm at the point where it's pretty hard. I'm at the Duke difficulty, and like where the first couple difficulties, you kind of breeze through a little bit. You're just kind of having fun, having a good time. Then you get to the hard ones, you're like, oh, I actually have to think now. I have to find actual synergies with these cards. And that's when the game really gets to be really great. Now, I will say, if you're looking for something super easygoing and you want to just play the low difficulties, I think this is a great experience, because I think I read somewhere, somebody said something where they were like, this is basically strategy Vampire Survivors. Like, a lot going on. You don't have to actually do much, but you can think a little bit if you want. It can just kind of be that experience for you. And you can kind of put the speed on high and put the attacking at auto, because you can aim your castle technically, but if you put it on auto, it'll just shoot wherever. And yeah, I don't know. I really enjoyed the gameplay here. I played a lot of it, to be honest, and I'll continue playing it because it is really interesting, especially when you get to unlock other kings, because they have their own unique card pool that you can mess around with, and you get a little taste of them on like the basic run, but you don't get to see some like the true synergy of that it all coming together if it was your own king. So really enjoyed this gameplay. It's very simple, but decent amount of depth. It is early access, so there's still some stuff that can be worked out here, some kinks. But I think for the most part, it plays pretty great. And the decisions are meaningful as the difficulty kind of climbs. And I really enjoyed it. I'm excited to see what else they're going to kind of bring to this game, because it has the potential to kind of be a little bit of a cult classic, at least on the gameplay side. What'd you think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think going into this game, just looking at it, I'm like, okay, this is gonna have like a decent learning curve to it, but it really doesn't. Like, you can pick up this game pretty quickly. And honestly, when I was like halfway through my first run, I was like, I got this. Like, you know, this, I understand like the entire flow, the different like kind of events that can happen. And I was really curious to see like what the other kings were. So I was actually a player that like I played a little bit of like the above the lowest difficulty, but I didn't get to like Duke. But I did test out a few of the other kings. And I enjoyed, you know, the different card pools. There's also like a lot of like there's still similarities, you know, of the, kind of the basic cards that you have across kings. But I think that it does a really good job of kind of just simplifying a tower defense, and also kind of like a, I almost kind of view this as like a turn-based NORP apologue in a way. Right, because you're like in NORP, the NORP apologue, you're kind of And that's for those who don't know, a game we reviewed a long time ago that we were pretty high on. You know, that one is kind of a clicker sort of game, right? This one is, you know, you have to make better and more strategic decisions, and then you kind of, you know, commence the next battle or the next kind of turn. So I enjoyed the synergies that you can have with the different plots. I was like trying out new things. I never felt like, you know, I was really being punished for like making the wrong decision, and probably because I was on like some of the easier difficulties, but I appreciated that because I'll add poison to this troop and I want to see what that does. Or let me try the synergy with this. These two do two plots together. Or let me try a different placement for like my starting castle versus like putting it in the middle or, you know, putting it on the edge and just kind of see how that run sort of goes, if that makes a big difference. And I felt like the game does a great job of, not punishing you and just letting you have fun. It was just so much fun. We'll get into the sound too. I think part of like the whimsical nature of this game too is with the sound, but yeah, the gameplay, easy to understand. I really like that you can control, you know, where your castle shooting or, you know, whatever it is, if you're shooting rocks or you're like lightning bolts or whatever it might be, from your kind of main castle or hub that you first placed down. I like that you can control where that's going because it kind of makes it feel like, you know, you can put the auto on, but it makes it feel like you're doing something to help as well. It's not just the synergies that you've placed down and the cards you've placed down, and now you're like, okay, go battle for me. It's not, it is mostly an auto battler, but I appreciate that they give you a little bit of control there as well. Because it was just like satisfying to know that like I'm helping out, like I'm the king helping out all these troops in the easiest way possible. But I just like that little touch there as well. And then I also enjoyed, you know, knowing what was kind of coming next, like the blessings that you mentioned, where you got to think 9 turns ahead, and then just knowing that you have like a shop coming up and you kind of have that timeline at the top. Like I think it's really laid out in a super easy to understand way. And that's great because, you know, like I said, looking at the game at first, I was like, this is going to be a little bit more complicated. And it really ended up not being that. So I did play a little bit more on like the easier side, but I agree. Like, I think, you know, hearing you talk about how difficult the game can be makes me want to try those harder difficulties. But knowing that I can always just revert back, and if I just want to kill some time and sit back and relax, I can just play this game on an easier difficulty, and it's still a lot of fun. And there's still some thinking that you have to do. And it's not just, you can place things down wherever you want. There's still like synergies that you probably want to have, when you're building out, you know, on the easier difficulties as well. So yeah, I'm really happy with the gameplay, excited to see where they take it from here. The only note I kind of had is that, you know, they mention like even in the description of the game, I think, like you fight massive battles against powerful rival kings. I don't know. I never felt like the battles were massive. Maybe it's because I'm on the easier difficulties. I'm not sure if like you get a lot more plots on the harder difficulties. But I kind of felt like I didn't really have like a huge kingdom. I just kind of felt like, you know, it was still kind of like a smaller sort of kingdom. So I don't know if there's like, you know, is there any more from your perspective with the harder difficulties where like you're getting plots more often and you're able to expand, wider than you do on the easier difficulties?
So when you level up in this game, you get perks, and some of the perks add like starting new plots, and you get like automatically a couple plots added. But then there's cards in the game that will let you add plots, so you can get to a pretty big, like sized land, especially if, you know, you're on a certain run where maybe you hit like a shop and you're able to buy a lot of cards and then just place them all. And all of a sudden, like the normal, like 3x3 grid is going to feel a lot bigger. I think you can probably go out to, 5x5, which is like, okay, doesn't sound like a lot, but like towards the end in like some of these like higher difficulty, like you're stressing like each time. And like the way you lose, you have 3 lives, right? So the way you lose is if they kill all your people and then they get into your castle. So like, especially in the deeper difficulty levels, you know, you'll be like, oh no, they killed everybody and they're coming at me, and you're just praying that your castle is going to deal enough damage to them before they get there. You're like, yeah, oh my God. and you know, the final battle is always kind of cool. Like you see like a giant king that shows up. So like when that happens, it does feel pretty epic, but I understand that thing. I think the only thing that I would like in this game a little bit more, and this is something that will probably come with just it being early access, is more cards, right? Yeah,
for sure.
That's just kind of like, it's just kind of like, hey, we want to see more cards that we can play around with. And then I think a little bit clearer direction in the beginning, or at least a little bit better of a tutorial. It's a pretty easy game to play, there's no doubt, and you'll pick it up almost immediately. But it took like not an annoying amount of time, but like just enough time for me to realize like why can't I play all my cards, or why, mm-hmm, you know, what are the costs here? And then I felt like it didn't tell me that I can only play like down to 2 each time. So I would have liked that explanation. But other than that, yeah, it's pretty interesting. I think the coolest thing, especially in the, as you start getting a little bit deeper into this game, is you start your run and it's always 2 random kingdoms that you're going to be battling against. So you kind of know what kind of cards you're going to be getting. Like, is it the poison card or the growth cards and the like gold cards, right? And you're like, okay, this is the kind of run I can do. And then halfway through the run, a 3rd kingdom gets added to the mix. And then you're like, okay, now I have like these stone cards that I can start building with. Is that good enough? Like, maybe I'll do that. And then you get to make peace with one of the kingdoms. So you get to be like, all right, I don't want any more gold stuff. Get rid of that one. I'll just deal with the stone and the green ones. So there's a lot of depth there. And like, I think, you know, I'm in the Discord and just reading what some other people say. I'm like, oh man, some people are way better at this than I am. And it's very interesting though. So I think there's a pretty high ceiling on this game. But yeah, at the higher difficulties, it feels more epic because it feels more meaningful. Cause you're like, oh, I'm going to die. Like, even early game, you're like, holy smokes, I didn't set up good enough, and my guys are getting smoked. So,
yeah. Now, one thing with this game, though, that, I mean, I just hope doesn't hurt the longevity of it. Because, you know, I agree, from what I've seen, like, there's a good amount of depth. But you're also, at the end of the day, you're going to be limited to, like, 9 kings, right? Mm-hmm. So, if they ever wanted to add more, I guess they couldn't, right? Because of the name of the game, that would add more variety, but they could always just add more cards to the existing kings to try to, you know, keep things feeling fresh. But one of my first thoughts when I got into the game was, what kings are available since it's early access. And then I was thinking, oh, I wonder if they'll add kings. And I'm like, oh no, they probably won't, because it's 9 kings. So that's just something, I don't know, that we'll just have to see on how it unfolds. But I imagine, adding more cards to the game, like you mentioned, should be enough to keep up with like the variety of different runs you can have.
Yeah, I think there's a couple interesting ways to get around the 9 king thing, because if you see, because they're all represented by like a playing card, right? And then the merchant is always a jack. I don't know if we've seen any queens, so I could just be like, and there's 9 queens now, you know, just and like, why not? There's a couple aces. You know what? Let's just make it Baltro. And but Yeah, no, I could. It seems like they landlocked themselves a little bit, but I think there's a lot of room to run here, yeah. And I think people are really loving it. So, let's talk about the story. Newsflash: there really isn't one. Every time you do a run, because it's a roguelike, there's a story happening. You are this kingdom. You're at war with these two kingdoms. And then all of a sudden, a third kingdom joins the fray. And then you make peace with another kingdom. And then one of those kingdoms tries to do a final battle against you. Now, the overall vibe and like what these like kings do and their kingdoms do with their cards is all very flavorful, right? You know, the kingdom of greed is all about money-based stuff. Like, they have thieves, they have mercenaries, like, all, like, care about money. And that's really cool. That's, like, a really cool flavor to add to the game. King of Nothing is very bland. You got paladins, soldiers, archers, just like, hey, there's nothing going on here. And then the kingdom of, what's the green one called?
Nature?
Kingdom of Nature, yeah. Kingdom of Nature. Hey, we got forest and animals and weird elf archers and stuff like that. Like, so they're really nailing it with the flavor there. And I think that's where the story goes the most. And the Kingdom of Spells is arguably the coolest, though, with all the wizards and warlocks and stuff like that.
Yeah. But I also like the King of Blood, too.
Yeah, he's King of Blood. Cool
looking. Yeah. He's got cool enemies that come after you. But yeah, no, I agree. There's just like an inherited story here. And that's good enough for me, you know, I don't really need more than that. So, yeah, really like the designs of the kings, you know, we'll talk about the art. But yeah, no real story.
Yeah. Yeah. And visually though.
Yeah.
Pretty like good looking game, pixel art, you know. Exactly what it needs to be. They could have gone further with it if they wanted to, but honestly, it adds to the charm in a way. I think like these like really like low res pixel characters, and then the towers and plots themselves actually look pretty neat, and I think that kind of juxtaposition, I think is the word I'm looking for, is pretty cool, because you know it shows that. Shows how like minuscule these kind of units are compared to how vast the buildings can be in a kingdom sometimes, and really they're just expendable. that's basically what it comes down to. And I like how each kingdom obviously has a different color scheme and like a definite kind of vibe as well in terms of the art on the cards and the units and towers and stuff like that, as well as, you know, at some point, the base area in which you're kind of defending looks different as well, which is a nice touch. All looks good. It's not breaking any ground, but it makes total sense for what this game is doing.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, I really enjoyed the art style. I think obviously, it's not like super detailed, the actual battles, but like you said, it adds to the charm. It gives me those NORP Apolog vibes because it's you know, low res. I also do like you're seeing right now, choosing the different cards, which for some reason this gameplay kind of keeps stopping at that point. But there's like a little animation that kind of happens, just like a very small thing when like you're hovering over the cards. It's something that I pay attention to more when we're reviewing games. So when there's games like Balatro or any really like deck building kind of game, and there's those little touches of when you hover over a card, there's kind of a little shake to it, or, you know, not just kind of making the card kind of zoom in a little bit bigger. I don't know, those little touches like that, I really enjoy. It makes me feel like I'm playing more of a finished game, which maybe is, I don't know, maybe it's just a weird thought, but I just always enjoy those sort of things. And you know, the fact that you're also taking those cards and, you know, you're placing them over on the plots versus like selecting a card and then maybe selecting the plot and then applying it, like those little details on the art side, I think make a big difference from, you know, thinking a game is polished versus not. I also really like that after each turn on each plot, it shows the amount of damage that that plot did on the previous turn. I think there's like multiple ways they could have handled that, but that is like the easiest way in my mind to understand how those plots did on the last turn versus like looking at a menu or having some other sort of system that was able to indicate that. So just from the art standpoint, like that's kind of feeding into like the UI of the game. I think that that was a really smart decision. Everything else about it, very easy to understand. You get the timeline on the top, you know, the different, you know, you can pause it or fast forward or auto up in the top right. And then you've got kind of these like blessings that you get and your money in the top left, and just very easy to understand everything from the UI perspective. I'm a big fan of the art in the game. You know, it's not anything where I'd recommend it to people because of how it looks, of just like, wow, this is like an amazing looking game, but it's really good though. And it definitely contributed to how much I enjoyed the game, was like the art style and, you know, the different kind of, you know, it's really easy to tell all the different kings, right? And like the cards that are associated with that king, because they're each associated with like a color. So I just, all those little details, I think, make a big difference at the end of the day, in terms of the art. And I'm really excited to see the other cards that get added so that you can kind of see what do these structures look like? What do these troops look like, that you're adding in? There's definitely, you know, there's some out there that like, there's machines that come out and shoot fire at the other enemies. And like, there's pretty cool little animations that kind of happen even on like a, you know, a low res kind of battlefield. So, I was a big fan of the art in the game for sure.
Yeah. And I think one of the, this is kind of interesting because like the sound it could make or break for some people, but I'm kind of enamored with it. The music is pretty good. The music is actually, not like catchy, but like nails the vibe. You're kind of in this idle style game where you don't have to really make decisions quickly. So, you know, it has that kind of intensity to it and stuff like that. But the sound effects are what people are going to really, I think mostly enjoy, because first, when you play something, really satisfying sound when you upgrade a plot or something like that. And then also when, you know, at the beginning of every round, sometimes certain buildings will give effects and they will make a little sound at first. And if there's multiple of them, it'll sound really cool. And then it comes to the attack from the opposing army. And it's just like weird, like little people kind of screaming and like, it's hard to like actually emulate, but we could play a little bit.
There they are.
This is a game that I refuse to play muted because it is so funny to me. Like, it doesn't really get old because I'm like, well, I got to hear what's happening in this battle. It's pretty important to me. So I'm enjoying the hell out of that. I think some people might think it's annoying, but I think it's so cool, to be honest, because it is such a silly, silly thing to like hear every single round, and I love silliness.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, I agree about the soundtrack and everything. The highlight though is the attack sounds and the battle sounds that happen. I really enjoyed it as well. The only time I became like slightly annoyed with it was I was on like the super fast forward mode, and I was like, okay, this is just like, I was just cruising through turns, and I was like, I'm going to just put it to like regular fast forward, because it just, some of the battles are just like, yeah, just a lot of screaming within like just a few seconds. But it adds to the charm of the game. It's very funny. Like the first time when I first started playing, I was like, oh my God, like, I just didn't expect that. And actually it got to the point where I was playing on the Steam Deck, and Maria was like, are you playing Pikmin? I was like, no, I'm not playing Pikmin. Because she's, you know, it kind of sounds like you're attacking a bunch of Pikmin in a way. So it definitely adds to the charm of the game. I could see how people might be annoyed by it. And I'm sure like they'll have a toggle for it if they don't already to turn that off. Yeah. But I like it. I want to hear it. And I think it's just a funny part of the game that adds a little character.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, getting to performance, I also played a little bit on Steam Deck and used just the trackpad because the actual buttons weren't really like doing it, but it actually worked fine with the trackpad. I also played a decent amount on PC as well. Played perfectly fine.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, played on both, and I was actually surprised like how well it ran on the Steam Deck. I've never really used the trackpad for much other than like when it's in desktop mode, maybe. And yeah, works like seamlessly with this game, and then with the, you know, mouse and keyboard as well. I'd like to see this game on mobile at some point. I think I'd play a good amount of it on there, and I think it could work pretty well. But it's no performance issues whatsoever with this game.
Cool. That brings us to our rating, though. How are we going to rate this game? Our rating system is as follows. It is, at your top, it is Certified Fresh Juice. These are games like Star Vaders, like Dawnfolk, Sworn, games that we really enjoy. We think they're great, and we keep revisiting them. And then after that is a steal. These are games that are really good, maybe not great, but games that we like happen to really take to. These are games like Ballionaire, Crypt Custodian, The Cub. And then after that, we have On Sale. Fine games, they have their merits, but also some things that need to be worked on. If they were on sale, we would recommend maybe checking them out. These are games like Wizard with a Gun and Hellskate. And then after that, we have Manager Special. These are games that maybe if it's free to play, you might enjoy it if you want to check it out, or if it's on a deep discount, because we didn't really enjoy it that much, but maybe there's something there. And then after that, there is Spoiled Milk, which is a game we wouldn't recommend for anybody. Maddie, what's your rating for Nine Kings?
I'm giving Nine Kings a Certified Fresh Juice. I think that it has such a great foundation, even though it's early access. I'm so excited to see what else they add to it. It's one of those games where even playing it today before we recorded, I was like, all right, one more turn, and all of a sudden the run's over and I'm starting a new run, or I'm continuing on. I just really enjoyed my time with the game. It's a game I could easily recommend to people. I already have a few people in mind that I think would enjoy this kind of game, that enjoy tower defense, and maybe, you know, this is like a spin on that. So yeah, I'm giving this a Certified Fresh Juice. I think it's a banger. So going with that. And shout out to Capolo too. I think he's the one who originally recommended this game. So shout out to you, Cap.
Yeah. This is a game that actually, did we get a key for this game?
Did we get a key? Yes, we did.
We got a key.
Yes. Thank you to the developer.
Yeah.
Setting us a key. That was a long time ago before the game came out. So,
well, yeah, funny enough. So yeah. We, Capolo recommended it, and we reached out, we got a key, and the key worked, but like you couldn't play it yet, right? Not till early access. So we had just redeemed it, and then it was just in our library for when we were going to review it. We're like, oh yeah, I guess we did get that. But thank you to the developer. Didn't influence my opinion on it whatsoever, because this is a Certified Fresh Juice if I've ever played one. Just so much going for it. It is my ideal indie game, you know. This is a early front runner, I think, for my game of the year so far that we reviewed. And I am kind of excited to continue to play it and see where development goes, because there's so much going for it. I want to see what the other two kings do. And then also on top of that, you know, see, because like the main thing that they say that they're like need to fix is the endless mode, which has an endless mode. I played a little bit of it. My run wasn't so good that it was going to blow my computer. So it wasn't that much of an issue, but I know that some people are like trying to go like infinite and you know, the game kind of crashes. But other than that, I mean, like, that's to be expected with the amount of stuff that goes on in this game. So yeah, certified fresh juice. Very few complaints here. Maybe a little bit better of a tutorial, maybe. And then more cards, more kings, maybe queens. Throw them in there. And yeah, I love this game a lot. I'm going to continue to play it, no doubt. And mobile would freaking slap. Yeah. Holy moly. Yeah. You know, much like Balatro does. I mean, it's kind of easy hop in, easy hop out. Perfect. Yep. So,
yeah.
But. Yeah, that was Nine Kings. We do have listener questions, though. Next week, we're actually doing another deck builder roguelike, one that I got to beta test a little bit. As We Descend, which is out in early access from the same publishers as Valheim. Not the same devs, but should be an interesting one. I really enjoyed the beta. We'll see how this early access is going. But we do have listener questions. These come from the Fresh Juice Discord, which is in the show notes below. First one comes from Capolo, who we just mentioned. Which video game taught you the best life lesson, and which one is it? What about the worst life lesson?
Which video game taught me the best life lesson, and which one is it? This is a good question. Man, that's tough. Which one taught me a life lesson. Do you have an answer for this one, Tommy? I got to think about this one.
Yeah, I do. I would say that Ocarina of Time taught me the best life lesson. Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. If you've never played it, play it. Game's amazing. But basically, the first three dungeons you do when you're a kid, and they're relatively easy and like kind of like carefree in a way. It's kind of fun. And then you time jump to an adult, and then you have to do seven new dungeons. And they're still really fun. It's still a great game. But it's a lot darker. Not as fun. You know, you went into the future, so like bad things have happened, and you run into like the same characters you ran into as a kid, and they're like kind of depressed and depressing. And you're like, oh my God. I miss being a kid. So it kind of like taught me to like hold on to the great things from being a child. Like video games, like why we talk about them every week. So that would be my best life lesson.
Yeah, it's a good one. Oh man, it's tough for me to even think of one. I mean, I'm thinking of like worst life lesson is probably one I could answer a little bit easier. I remember getting an early copy of Gears of War game, Gears of War Judgment, which ended up being not a good game. I got an early copy of it, and I decided to stream it. And then I got my like entire Gears of War account banned that I had had for years. So a life lesson there was like, it's not worth, you know, just being first for some things. You know, it's okay to wait. So that was probably a life lesson where I was just like, oh my God, like there was no way I could like recover anything. And I just had to like start fresh again, which that sucked. That was like in college, that had happened, I think like my first year of college. And then, yeah, as far as like a best life lesson, I mean, I'm sure there's been a lot of games that have like taught me patience. Like probably Animal Crossing is like one of them, where like you kind of just have to wait, you know, like throughout the seasons, throughout the days, you know, unless you're doing like the time switch sort of thing. But there's definitely been a lot of games that have taught me like patience and just like waiting. But yeah, that's a tougher one, Capola. I can't really think of like a really good life lesson. I'm sure it'll come to me at some point, but I find that like sometimes when these games teach me a lesson, I don't like recognize it right away. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so good question though, Capolo. Getting all introspective here.
Yeah, I don't know if I have a worse life lesson, but like from a video game, but like similar to yours, I guess. But like, I remember when I was in like middle school or like maybe like fourth or fifth grade, my mom was like, you can get one game. And there's just one game I really wanted. It was on the DS. I'm already actually forgetting what it is. We went to GameStop, or EB Games maybe even at that point, and they didn't have it. And I was like, oh, I'll just get another one. I got another one, and it was awful. I was so mad. I was like, oh, man, I missed out on this game that I really wanted to play. And I ended up, they ended up taking it back, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, you know, and I was able to get the game that I wanted. But I just remember, it's like, don't settle.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, because it is not good.
Yeah.
Capullo had another one. What the heck? This is like the question bot?
Yeah. Live it up to the name.
If life worked like a video game, which stat would you try to max out every time you level up in age?
Oh, probably like persuasion. So I could just be like, I don't need to work today. It's like to my boss. Be like, hey, you don't need to work today. Cool. Like, you could just do whatever you wanted. Probably something like that, you know?
Okay. I would say health points, to be honest.
Health points, yeah, sure. But then I could just persuade you that that's not important.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm like a 60-year-old with 100 level HP.
Yeah.
Nothing there taking you go. Me down. Kmore asks, what would you rate this year's Summer Games Fest?
So I'd probably give it like a 6 out of 10. I honestly was looking for a little bit more, and you know, there were some like good announcements there, but and some games I want to keep an eye on, but I was just looking for more like wow moments. But I also know that like those sort of showcases are subjective, right? So there's mm-hmm. probably a lot of people that like were excited about things that I don't care about, and then vice versa. So but for me, I'd probably give it like a 6 out of 10. I think last year's was better, but I still look forward to them every year because you never know what's going to be announced.
I would say if you want more wow moments, I would tune into like BlizzCon or something like that, but that's just me. Whoa. Oh,
got him.
And I didn't get to really watch, but I'll side with Matt there. It's a 6 out of 10 for me as well. And then the final question comes from RCarp11, who asks, favorite home-cooked meal?
My favorite home-cooked meal is probably, there's a meal, I haven't asked for it in a while, but for a good amount of years, my mom would always ask, what do I want for my birthday, like dinner? And I'd say, I want meatloaf. Like, she makes meatloaf with like some mashed potatoes. And then she usually would make like an apple pie or something like that. But I'm not like a big meatloaf guy, but like, I love her meatloaf. It's kind of like one of those things, you know, where like, I only like my mom's meatloaf, I guess, or whatever. So I don't know. I'll just go with that. As like my favorite home cooked meal, because it makes me like remember sitting at the kitchen table watching Dragon Ball Z and meatloaf, you know, probably with like a glass of milk too, which is weird. I know. All right. I used to have my spaghetti and meatballs with milk too.
Oh,
delicious.
My God.
Yeah. Delicious. Yeah, but I'd probably go with that. What about you, Tom? You got a favorite one?
I would say none of the meals my parents made, I particularly loved. And I only say that because I know they're not listening. But currently, if I'm cooking, I mean, curry, I think I make a banging curry. Sometimes throw some cashews in there, blend them up, makes it nice and creamy. Usually with paneer or something like that. I'll mess with some chicken sometimes as well, or just straight veggies. But, you know, just a really nice like Indian style curry. But when my wife's cooking, she makes great stuffed shells. And I know they're great because I never really liked stuffed shells that much prior. Like, I would eat them, but like, she was like, no, like, mine are good. And I was like, all right, I'll try them. And they were. And I was like, okay,
yeah,
I'll marry you. But yeah.
It's hard to not like a stuffed shell, Tom. You don't like stuffed shells?
Well,
what,
I think,
what is it about the stuffed shell?
I think my mom just really sucked at making them. But because like any like meal that like I was like in my adult life, I'm like, I don't really like that much. I just realized that I just had the worst version of it when I was a kid. Okay. And I love my mom. She's awesome. But she also doesn't really listen to the show. I mean, sometimes maybe. Hopefully not this one. But, yeah. Because there was just, like, some stuff that, like, she does make some good stuff. Like, if I were to say there's one thing my mom was good at making, chicken cutlets. So that was, like, something that she was good at making. And my dad, you know, he cooked a decent amount. And I wish he wouldn't. No.
Hey, I like your dad's string beans. He's got good string beans.
Those string beans are
good.
That's
not really a meal, but,
it's not,
you know.
No. Yeah. He's you know, good. I haven't really eaten his food, like, outside of, like, family party stuff in a minute.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, I like flavor, you know. I just like good flavor in my food. It's, like, you know, whatever. It's a weird thing. But, hey, it's been a great show. We got to go take a step down into the rec room before we say goodbye, where we recommend something that perhaps isn't an indie game. What do you have to recommend this week?
I am recommending a TV show, actually, that I found out about through TikTok as a show that I guess is not getting a lot of attention, but has pretty high ratings. It's actually a Disney show that I guess would be on Disney Plus. It's called Win or Lose, and it is about a softball team, like a kid's softball team. And each episode is about a different person that's either on the team or somehow affiliated with the team, maybe a parent of someone on the team or like the umpire. But each one is really focused on like the kind of like the mental health struggles of each of those people. So if it's a kid, it's like they have anxiety about like playing baseball and like or playing softball and all the things happening at school. If it's like a mom, she's worried about her job and, you know, things like that. But the real impressive thing about the show is the way it's directed and shot. It is, I mean, they're only 20 minute episodes, but it is like a spectacle. It's so well done, like the pacing of everything. It's funny. It has like really funny moments in it. And it really just came out of nowhere. Like I have no idea when this show like kind of started or anything like that. Like I said, I just saw a TikTok about it, but it's called Win or Lose. I highly recommend checking it out. Even if you're just going to watch the first episode, I think it's a great first episode. And I normally don't watch these kind of Disney animated like TV shows. But this one in particular is, you know, we're like 3 or 4 episodes in and I'm just like, this is such a high quality show, better than any other like animated, like Disney movie I've seen in the last like 5 to 10 years. So got to check it out. Win or Lose. It's a good one. So yeah,
it looks good. I mean, like, it has that, you know, kind of, what would you say? Almost Pixar-esque.
Yeah.
It is Pixar, is it not? Yeah, it is.
It is. There you go. Well, it's better than any other Pixar movie I've seen recently.
Oh, really? It's better than any Pixar movie?
Well, that I've seen recently.
Oh, okay.
Probably the last great Pixar movie I saw was Coco, if I remember correctly.
Was that Pixar?
I think so. Coco?
Or is that just Disney? I mean, I haven't seen a Pixar movie since Inside Out. That was good.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. No, this is Coco was, oh yeah, Coco was Pixar.
Okay. Yeah. No, it looks good. I mean, you know, Pixar's got a pretty good track record. A little less so now, I think, but
yeah.
But still good.
Definitely recommend it though. And also the fact that like I like baseball. You know, I just watched Moneyball again. So like, this
again?
Being like, yeah, there's always those movies I just like to put on, and just kind of watch from time to time, and that's definitely one of them. But the fact that softball related also, it just reminds me of like when I was a kid, a little bit. So it's great. Win or Lose, check it out.
I've been getting a lot of Savannah Bananas TikToks.
Same here. I need to join that like 3 million person wait list because I want to see them. Yeah.
It's impressive, to be honest. It's like the most hype thing going on about baseball anymore. But my recommendation is a new album came out on Friday from a band called Camp, C-A-A-M-P. The album's called Copper Changes Color. It's good. So like I really like Camp. Especially their earlier stuff. I was a big fan of By and By, two albums ago. It was pretty, like, such an incredible album. And then, like, you know, not a huge fan of Lavender Days or whatever the one after that one was called. But, you know, had some good songs here and there. But Copper Changes Color is kind of not a return to form. It definitely feels different. It has, like, a Strokes-y kind of vibe, if you like the Strokes. But still has that kind of folky vibe that Camp brings. So, strokey. I don't know. it's good. I like 99% of the songs. I think there's just one I'm not a huge fan of, but it's just a nice, good, easy listening album to throw on. So, check out "Copper Changes Color" by Camp.
Hell yeah. I actually, I saw that I got notified on Spotify about that one. So I did listen to a few tracks on there. It's pretty good.
Pretty good. Almost like pretty good. We recommend it. Next week, as we descend, and tonight we descend into the juiciness of saying goodbye.